Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Let's bring in my man, James Ham. James, we were doing a couple of NFL overreactions here. Is it an overreaction to say the Cowboys could make the playoffs because of how good their offense is?
Sure. I mean, I don't think it's an overreaction.
Okay.
I was like,
messed it up again, too.
We did the same thing, James. We did the same thing.
No, I don't think it's an overreaction to say they could make the playoffs. What is their point differential is like a -1 or something, or -2. Like, they're right in games. Like, anytime you've got, you know, again, offensive weapons like they do, I love the Pickens pickup. I thought that was spectacular. Even the Javonte Williams, great pickup. Like, he just didn't work out in Denver, and he looks great there. And then, you know, I know it's not all that popular, but if we're going to trash the 49ers for having one of the worst kickers we've ever seen in the NFL, man, like, having a guy like Aubrey is just, like, it's crazy. Like, that weapon that they have as their field goal kicker, who can line up and kick 70-yard field goals, it just changes the whole complexity of the game.
Bro, how did they find back-to-back kickers with, like, titanium in their feet? What was the other guy's name? Then they had the guy, I thought he'd be there forever, like 3 years ago, who would kick bombs. Donnie, you're listening. I know you know what I'm talking about. But they don't have him no more, and now they got Aubrey, who does the same damn thing. This is crazy. And we're stuck with Jake Moody for I don't know how long.
Who was the guy that T.O. said kicked the 100-yard field goal? Was it Nick Folk? Was that his name?
That sounds right.
Like, that's possible.
He was like, my kicker kicked a 100-yard field goal. I was like, T.O., no, he didn't. you don't add the yardage of the two field goals together.
Yeah, like, but watching, like, is there ever a question that Aubrey's going to hit it? I mean, he's got the biggest leg we've ever seen in the NFL. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. And he was just a former, MLS player, right? Mm. Who was just hanging out at home, and his wife's like, hey, I think you could do that. And he's like, you're probably right. I think I could. Sure enough, there he goes.
Drop bombs.
Yeah, wild.
I think part of their issue is, there are going to be two, and we could talk about this more tomorrow maybe, because maybe it's an overreaction, but I think there's going to be two divisions in the NFC that get multiple playoff teams, and I don't think it's going to be the NFCs.
Okay. All right. I actually don't think it's an overreaction, but we're going to find out pretty quickly. The Cowboys play the Packers. They play the Broncos, and they play the Chiefs. And, of course, they play the Eagles again. So if they're like, you're going against, those aren't all in a row, by the way. Those are just all on the schedule. Point being is, if your offense is good, you're going to have to prove it at some point against a really good defense.
That reminds me. Let's not bring up this conversation and this question after this week, because that's not going to count either.
Do that again?
We talk about, can this offense lead them to the playoffs?
Yeah.
And, you know, my argument was, they didn't really do much in the second half against the Eagles. They actually didn't do anything. And they went up against the Giants, which isn't a good defensive team. Donnie, everybody else, after this week, don't come talk to me, because they're playing another terrible defense.
They're playing Chicago. Dak Prescott, player of the week. We talked about that earlier. Dak Prescott about to be the player of the week. Hammer, we had the chance to talk to Anthony Slater not that long ago, about an hour ago. And Ant's obviously pretty locked into this situation with Jonathan Kuminga. Has been doing a lot of reporting on it the last couple of days, as we're just about a week and a half away from Sacramento Kings Media Day. I got to imagine the Golden State Warriors is right around there as well. Ant was pretty clear. He doesn't think Jonathan Kuminga is going to play for Sacramento. He thinks he's going to play for the Golden State Warriors. He just doesn't know the context as to how, whether it's going to be the qualifying offer or they wind up coming to some other compromise. I'll ask you what I asked him is, once the book is completely shut on this Jonathan Kuminga thing, what do you think is the next order of business for Scott Perry and the Sacramento Kings?
Yeah, that's the most difficult question. It's to find the next Jonathan Kuminga. You know, it's to find another player like that that is in a situation that is untenable, and somebody's looking to make some different move than what they're currently doing. I mean, I know that this it's not like a secret here. This roster just it's not put together right. And I don't blame him for that. I mean, this is a roster he inherited, at least a good portion of it. And the good portion of it is a good portion or almost all of the salary cap. So anything that he's been able to do here is going to be on the peripheral. You know, even adding Dennis Schroeder, I'd like to tell you that adding Dennis Schroeder is like a game changer, but you're looking at, you know, a player who, like, realistically, where does he fit as far as like the hierarchy of this team? You know, Domas probably number one, Zach LaVine, you know, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, Malik Monk. You know, we're talking about, he's probably your fifth, sixth best player. And so, like, expecting, you know, a player like that to come in and instantly change things, or that's just not going to be simple. So, you know, I think it's on Scott Perry right now to, like, and I'm sure he's already done this, is to assess, like, okay, if it's not Kuminga, then who else? And I kind of feel like the Kings have been sitting back with the understanding that there's a good chance that the Kuminga situation won't materialize. Like, they're not dumb. They know exactly where this thing is kind of heading, and you've got to leave a door open for it. But I think we also, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we started hearing, oh, well, you know, the Kings love Malik Monk. They're not going to trade Monk. If anything, it would be a different type of deal now. We're already seeing sort of the backtrack on this. And, you know, I think we'll probably see more of that in the coming weeks as we get closer to the start of the season, where Malik Monk is likely going to be on this roster. That doesn't mean he's going to be on the roster by the end of the year or by February or next season, but it's looking more and more like he'll be here to start this season. And so, again, it's on the front office to find players that are maybe underutilized in their current situation, and see if you can find something that works for you and works for another team to redistribute the talent on your roster.
Amber, when it comes to this trade specifically, or potential trade or pursuit of Jonathan Kuminga, we talked about it earlier on the handoff and also myself and D-Lo on this show, but would you, for Jonathan Kuminga, would you take off the protections to get the deal done for that 2030 pick?
Yeah, we talked about this a little earlier. I mean, to make it 100% non, you know, like just to, I don't know, because it's not just Kuminga, right? It's, you're giving up a player as well. And I think it would depend on the deal that I'm getting. Like, again, if you're giving up Malik Monk, I don't want to give up an unprotected pick. Because to be honest with you, I still, like, in my mind, Malik Monk is a better player than Kuminga. Kuminga's got bigger upside, but that doesn't mean that he's ever going to reach that. We have no idea what Kuminga is, you know, as far as like a lead number one, number two, number three player. I think if it were for Monk, I would not. Now, if the Kings are the ones, well, I guess this is kind of contrary to what I was saying earlier. If the Kings were going to do the like $11 million in salary, and then they're going to have to find another $10 million to dump somehow, you know, that's a whole nother situation. And again, it would be difficult for me to say, hey, give up an unprotected first round pick in that deal. Because now you're the one who's on the hook, and you're the one who's over the luxury tax and has to find a way to claw back underneath the luxury tax. And there's no guarantee you're going to be able to. There's just not any teams with cap space right now. So, you know, it's going to cost a premium. And that's what a lot of these teams look at. They look at, you know, if it's the Nets, they're looking at teams around the league and saying, okay, who's going to give me something for my cap space? And, you know, maybe the Kings are able to work out a deal where, you know, they're able to shorten the length of a contract that the Nets have. You know, I've talked about this before where, you know, I think Terrence Mann is on a 3-year, like $46 million deal. Maybe you could trade DeMar DeRozan to Brooklyn and save your $10 million, but basically they're getting out from underneath their money earlier. Got me? So they'll have more money next summer than they would, and then certainly the summer after that, they'd save a bunch of money where they wouldn't have Terrence Mann on the books at $16 million or something. But I think that there are ways in which you can save money here. It's just not going to be easy, and that's why the whole pick thing, it just becomes really complicated. Like, if you're going to have to give up a pick to get back under the luxury tax, now you're looking at, you know, like two players and two picks to get Jonathan Kuminga, and you have no idea what he is or who he is as a player, as far as like whether he can win games or not. It's tough.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to a 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real life moments. Maurices.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And Hammer, I don't think that we talked about this together during the handoff, which is a great segment that airs daily, 11:45 to 12:28, to be exact. To me, it's, the pick, the player, unprotected, whatever. If you think Jonathan Kuminga's the guy, like if you think, if Scott Perry thinks, no, this is a building block for our future. This isn't a guy that we're intrigued by. This isn't a guy we're curious by. This isn't a guy who, oh, well, we could probably get in on the market with him. We know the Warriors don't want him. If he's a guy that you think can be a part of your foundation for the foreseeable future, I'm all for it. If you don't, then I'm fine with whatever decision you make. I'm perfectly fine with you holding on to the protections, the players, all of that stuff, if you just wanted to get in on the market. And these are things that at least I don't know the answer to. If Scott Perry loves Jonathan Kuminga, go get him. If not, well, it's perfectly fine. You're going to have to find a way to build this team at some point. And I think some of us were hoping that build would start now, but maybe it won't. Maybe it has to wait another few months. Maybe it has to wait another few years.
God, yeah, and I think I kind of want, I want to key on that too. You know, like what I think is what you guys asked, you know, would I give up the pick? And like, that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. I'm a basketball, a guy who's covered basketball for, you know, 15 years, going on 16 years. I know the game really, really well, but it's not like I haven't like misjudged a player's talent one way or another, you know, like, and the same thing with Scott Perry. You know, Scott Perry is credited with some great draft picks. Like you can go back and look, and when he's in Orlando, like Aaron Gordon, you know, when he's here in Sacramento, he found De'Aaron Fox, although it was a top five pick. But you can go down the list of players that he's been able to acquire in the draft that are impressive. Right. And I think that there's a lot of them. I can also go back through a bunch of these drafts and show you where he missed. The Kevin Knox of the world, the Harry Giles, the Justin Jacksons. You know, there are plenty of dudes that he's missed on too. And that's the nature of the game. But you're hoping that whatever Scott Perry, and the reason why Scott Perry is here, is that you trust his judgment and you hope that his basketball judgment is correct. And, you know, like we can say a lot of, you know, negative things about the way things worked out with Monty and Wes, but you can also point to like some really, really good successes. Like the move, while it hurt eventually to give up a pick, didn't really hurt that bad. But the move to get Kevin Huerter was huge. Malik Monk was huge. The move to draft Keegan Murray over Jaden Ivey, like I think it was a great move as far as like the way that it's worked out for the Kings. Of course, Ivy's still developing and had the knee injury and all that stuff. But if you look around, you know, sort of a lot of the good things that they did, the Tyrese Haliburton draft pick, it's a good pick, but they also missed. And that's just the nature of the game. And so, like, I would like to see what Scott's thoughts are on this. And I know, like, Scott Perry is fine going out and chasing Kuminga. I've had conversations. Like he was fine going out and chasing this player because he, number one, thought he could get him for less as far as like what it would cost to acquire him. But he also felt like he could get him for below market value as far as a contract. Those things are changing very quickly. Mm-hmm. So, and what that does is your margin for error starts to get smaller and smaller. If all of a sudden you're giving up an unprotected first round pick, he better be damn good. And on top of that, if all of a sudden he doesn't want $63 million, but he wants his $75 million, which is totally possible. I don't know one way or another whether that's what he's going to ask the Kings for if they were to get back into negotiations. That again is much higher than the $63 million. And so all of these things, it starts to narrow this margin of error for who, what an acquisition like this would mean. And, you know, I think a lot of times, like, especially in the NFL, right? If I'm in the NFL, if I'm an NFL general manager and I'm sitting there in the third round and I'm looking at all of these picks, but I can go get a frontline starting wide receiver that I've watched for the last 3 or 4 years, who another team is for whatever reason willing to give up for a third round pick, I'm taking that every step of the way, because the NFL draft is such a crapshoot from round one through all the way to round seven. I mean, the 49ers completely screwed up the third overall pick and drafted a quarterback. And then a couple of years later, drafted a quarterback with the last pick in the seventh round, hundreds of picks in, and found their starter. So I would rather like manipulate and find players that are good and that I know are good and that can step in and play than taking a whole bunch of shots in the dark, which is what NFL teams do. But the NBA is so different. Like, can you go get a proven player with a second round pick? The answer is yeah, you can. I would rather do that than draft second round picks a lot of the time. And so in the same thing with first round picks, like, there's no guarantee that, you know, that pick is going to be a good pick by 2030 or whatever it is, whatever the pick is. It's very possible that the Kings are a really good team, and we don't know, you know, that's a long time away from right now, but there are so many twists and turns that could happen between now and then and make that team good. And then that pick could be like a marginal pick. So it's just tough. I would like to say like the right answer is to do this or to do that. There is no guarantee on anything here. And Kuminga is one of the most like non-guaranteed pickups that you could do. He realistically is like drafting the same exact position, the number seventh pick in the NBA draft. It's not a guaranteed pick like 1, 2, or 3. It's in that bubble, that range where, you know, the Kings lived for decades, where they drafted Bobby Hurley and Lionel Simmons and Walt Williams and Jason Williams. Yeah, but, you know, he's still that player. He's just a 22-year-old version of the seventh overall pick. That's all he is now, because we still have no idea who he is.
Yeah. James, the other day we were talking about Dennis Schroeder and his performance in Eurobasket and winning the MVP, and he was just the engine for that Germany team, as he has been the last 4 or 5 years. And we were trying to figure out, and I think we know why, but we were just asking a question like, why isn't this getting more Kings fans and media excited, getting hyped up, the possibility of him being able to play on that level in the NBA with all the other talent that the Kings have on that roster? And he's played well in the NBA as well. It's not like he goes away, but in your opinion, what is it that's keeping people from looking at his performance in Eurobasket and even the way he played with Detroit down the stretch last year and being excited for the fact that he's on the Sacramento Kings?
Well, I mean, as far as Eurobasket, I'm going to say like level of competition, you know, like most NBA teams out there, if you have a player who's a ball dominant point guard and who's getting a huge percentage of the usage rate and a huge percentage of the shots at the NBA level, almost every single team has someone in the same vein as Keon Ellis that you just go, okay, Keon, go slow him down. That's not the way it is in Eurobasket. Like, there are good defensive guards. There are also a whole bunch of bad defensive guards. There are a bunch of European players that just don't play basketball. I mean, don't play defense at all. And, you know, like, we saw the difference. I think this is a prime example. You saw how Sasha Vezenkov absolutely tore up Europe, right? And then came to the NBA and was like, I thought, like, intelligence wise, I had no problems hanging defensively. I thought defensively, like, he had a very good feel and where to be and all that stuff. But athletically, was nowhere near an NBA player on the defensive side of the ball. And so that's, and like, look, he was a EuroLeague MVP before he came to Sacramento. And I believe he's a EuroLeague MVP after he left Sacramento. He went back to Europe and is winning MVPs, whether it's in tournaments or it's in league play. He's a star over there. So that's the first thing I would point to, is that, you know, he's going over there and playing against players that, you know, they know how to play the game, and it's just a different style of basketball as well. But then the other thing I would point out too is that for as much as he was an impact player for Detroit last year, he wasn't for Golden State. And so, like, sometimes a situation lends itself to you having a lot of success, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get into a situation and, you know, like earlier we were talking about players who get to Sacramento, slip on a banana peel and forget how to play basketball. Like Marco Bellinelli was a really good player every stop he was at, except for in Sacramento. Like, he's just bad. Ramon Sessions, like, averaged something crazy, like 15 points and like six assists a game. The year before he played for the Sacramento Kings, when he played for Sacramento, he shot 19% from three and like 38% from the field, like, or lower. Like, he just became a bad basketball player. So I do think that, like, for as much as Dennis Schroeder, you know, played well for Detroit last year, we have plenty of other instances where he just didn't fit in. And that's going to be like, so it lends ourselves to this same question we asked with Kuminga. Like, we won't know until we get him on the court, until you see him on the court and he's playing with the guys that he's playing with, whether or not it's going to work or not. And I'd even say there are a lot of things about Sacramento's roster that are playing against Dennis Schroeder having success here. And it's that you have a ball dominant small forward, you have a ball dominant center who is a distributor and likes the ball in his hands. And then on top of that, you got a bunch of dudes who don't shoot enough threes and don't shoot the three ball well enough. And those are things that could hurt Dennis Schroeder's chance of having success in Sacramento. Now, on the plus side, he's coming off a really good run in Eurobasket, and he's shown over his career that he can score and that he can push the tempo and he can, you know, be an on-ball defender, pick up at half court. Like, there are things that Dennis Schroeder does really well, but I don't think the Kings are, like, if you were to go look at perfect fit teams, you would want like three or four shooters around him, not one or two, and potentially, you know, maybe three if you can get Keon Ellis on the floor. The Kings just don't have enough shooting as of right now in their current construction.
You know, I agree with Hammer and everybody else about, like, Schroeder, that was a bad time in Golden State. But he picked it up in Detroit. And if you look at the numbers, they're like identical. It was just
I'm so happy you brought that up. I'm going to ask you to bring that back, because, James, you just gave me a bunch of questions about Dennis Schroeder. So we'll continue to talk Kings basketball with our Kings insider from the insiders. It's James Hamm with D-Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable, because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
We're back, everybody.
We're quick, live, pal. Real quick.
Uh-huh.
We live to fight another day.
That's a terrible impression, first of all. That is awful.
Well, I could say like this.
Now that's better.
But he didn't really sound like that in that moment. He said, y'all need to use your hands more.
That's better.
You live to fight another day.
So you back in? What is this?
Talk to me at all 7 o'clock tonight.
Well, yeah.
The Mets lose.
Yeah.
Now it becomes a two-game deficit with 9 to play. I'm still tapped in. I mean, we got the Dodgers for 4 hours, and that could be the nail in the coffin. But if they can get the 2 back tonight, yeah, I'm tapped in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. It was like an extra innings game that ended 5-1.
I love to go.
Well, when that happens, once you get to the third run, it's just like, forget it. This is destroying the spirit of extras. It's over. Giants win. Everybody get off the field.
The Giants had one hit going into that.
You're right. Right.
Did they do that last week where they hit a grand slam in the 10th?
Yeah,
or the 11th?
Patrick Bailey. Yeah, on that the walk off joint.
Yeah.
Extra inning kings.
Wasn't nearly as nice as Nick Kurtz's grand slam.
Very good.
493 feet.
Hammer, you just spoke pretty in-depthly about Dennis Schroeder there a few minutes ago. You laid out some of the pros of him as a player, some of the cons of him as a player, and James is given the universal sign that he can't hear a thing I'm saying.
Poor James. So,
yeah, I think James's earbud died, and he's just like, hey, can't hear you, pal. That's okay, James. Go. Now, James, go ahead, James. It's okay.
I got you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Now I can hear you.
Okay, we're back.
Go ahead and ask your question again. Okay.
Thanks, James. you were talking about Dennis Schroeder a few minutes ago, and you kind of laid out the pros and cons of him as a player and the pluses and negatives of his fit on this team. It felt like there were a lot more negatives to Dennis Schroeder being on this team than positives. But what stood out to me the most is that maybe that not isn't necessarily because of Dennis. It feels like it's just the structure of the team, because when you laid out, you know, the ball dominant forward, the ball dominant this, it's like, I don't know who fits on this basketball team if Dennis Schroeder doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, what you're saying, but I mean, it's realistically, it's what I said about Davion Mitchell. And it's what I've said about DeMar DeRozan. Like, there are pieces that fit and pieces that don't. And, like, again, if you look at Dennis Schroeder and say, okay, like, what's the perfect pairing to go with him? And number one, an elite scoring shooting guard that can shoot from anywhere on the court, that's perfect, right? And I even think that having Domantas Sabonis and his ability to play in the pick and roll and use Sabonis as like a giant hub in the middle of the court, that's going to really open things up and allow Dennis Schroeder to get into the paint and to score at will, right? But that's all predicated on the fact that you have spacing on the court. And, you know, you go back and watch mid-2000s basketball, or you go back and watch mid-90s basketball, there's no spacing on the court. The game's just totally different. That's just not the modern NBA. You know, like the modern NBA is space and pace. And if you don't have shooters, then Dennis Schroeder, just like De'Aaron Fox and just like Malik Monk, they have a tough time getting into the key and breaking down the defense if there isn't already spacing. And so, yeah, I mean, like, look, Dennis Schroeder, like him and Malik Monk, I even like, I don't think they're that far off as players. I think they're similar players. I think Monk has a little bit more flash and a lot more vertical. Dennis Schroeder is a much better defender. They're neither one of them are pure point guards at all. But you know, they're not that far off as far as player comps. And like players like that, in order to maximize players like that, you've got to be able to shoot the ball. And the Kings don't, I mean, you get past Keegan Murray, who shot 34% from three last year. He didn't even like, you know, it wasn't like 41.5% when he was a rookie or 46% when he was a second year player. He dropped all the way to 34%. But then you look at, you know, the next is Keon and Zach LaVine. Once you get past those guys, like who's going to play major minutes that can actually shoot the three, not only at volume, but at a higher percentage than like 32-33%. And the answer is like nobody. Like Domantas Sabonis is your next best shooter, and he only shoots two times a game. You know, DeMar DeRozan tried to up his attempts last year, and by the end of the season, his 3-point percentage plummeted. So that's why we keep saying like, hey, this roster is poorly designed for today. And again, I'll keep saying this. It's not that I dislike Dennis Schroeder as a player, or that I dislike DeMar DeRozan as a player. It's that I just don't think they fit with what you're trying to do. Now, if you were to swap out DeMar DeRozan for a legitimate 3-point threat at the small forward position, and I'm not talking about Jonathan Kuminga. Like Jonathan Kuminga would only compound these issues that the Kings already have. If you were to swap out, you know, DeMar DeRozan for a guy who, even if he averages 12 to 15 points a game, but he shoots 38 to 40% from three, all of a sudden Dennis Schroeder makes a lot of sense to me. But it's about, you know, trying to match pieces. And I know I've told you guys this before. It's like the original Batman with Michael Keaton, you know, when the Joker puts out a bunch of poisoned like cosmetics, and you're okay to use a deodorant, but you can't use a deodorant and like the lipstick or it kills you. Mm-hmm. And that's the Kings have all of these pieces that when combined don't work at all and makes everything else not function properly, but alone they're fine. They're good players. You just have to have the right type of style of play and the right style of players around them to make it all work. And that's where I just have a problem. And again, I agree. It's not a Dennis Schroeder's, you know, issue, but at the same time, Dennis Schroeder's a 32-year-old free agent, has played for 10 teams in his career, including 8 in the last 4 years. So it's not like he's been the solution for a lot of teams. He is a player that's wanted and that you probably can move. But also, like, you didn't go out and get a top 10 point guard. You didn't get probably a top 20 point guard. And that's okay, but it's kind of like status quo. And my biggest concern is, like, how does he fit? And the real answer might be he fits a vision of this team that Scott Perry has for 2 years from now or a year from now or at the trade deadline, but not so much the team today. And Scott Perry's not worried about that today. What he's worried about is getting pieces and then trying to reconfigure the rest of the roster to make it all work.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said there, Hammer. And, you know, the Kings' issue is I think they have quite a few people that are only, how do I put this? They're only their best when everything around them is perfect. Mm-hmm. And they don't have... I don't think they have anybody that makes people around them better. They don't have a person that what's the term? Like that is the sun. Like they're there. Everything, so everything mm-hmm. revolves around them mm-hmm. and it's good. They need like You look at Domas. You look at Schroeder. You look at DeRozan. They need everything around them to be perfect for them to be the best versions of them. And that's kind of the issue. You don't have, I don't even know if they had that before the trade. I don't know. They had that for a while. And that's kind of what everybody in the league is looking for, not just the Kings. Or if you don't have that, you find that that complement of people around those one or two players you're talking about. But that's the struggle right now. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for either the right combination around the right player or the right player that makes everything around them that makes that the right combination because they're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like to that point, like in – I disagree slightly about Domas. Domas is like, he's the, but realistically, here's the problem though. No, I'm with you though. So the problem is you do have a player who is like the sun that everything else revolves around, but the players that revolve around him have to be the right type of player that space the floor. And again, like just look at, I know he's not the same player, but look at the way that Jokic plays and the way that they've designed their team around Jokic with 3-and-D players at every single position. You know, maybe Jamal Murray isn't a great 3-and-D player, but you're willing to put up with that because of his ability to go, you know, nitro and score 40 at any point. The other guys around him, they're those types of players that are 3-and-D players that space the floor. So if you're going to have a center of the universe player, which is what I consider Jokic, I consider Domas, you know, even like Luka, he just plays it from a different position. If you're going to have those types of players, then you have to build the roster around them. And I think in year one, they did build the roster around him and everything worked out great. You know, we see all of these players shoot career highs in 3-point percentage. The spacing was incredible. And who took advantage of the spacing? De'Aaron Fox, because of his speed and quickness. And also Malik Monk took advantage of that spacing that, that they were able to create using Domas as the center of the universe. As we got deeper into the run with Domas as the lead, they went away from that idea, not just in the way that they played basketball on the court, but in the style of player that they went out and found. And part of it's because, you know, it's like, hey, Kevin Herter's fine. He's shooting the three great. That's fine. But we need a better defensive version of him, right? And the second you tried a different defensive version of him, it didn't work. And then Kevin Herter's three-point percentage dropped. The percentage of the guy in Chris Duarte never, ever materialized. And so you take these little steps back every time. And then you're like, oh, you know, we had too many playmakers get hurt in the playoffs. So as opposed to finding like a third point guard or something, you went out and got a ball dominant playmaking small forward. And again, you took away what made that team work and function, and that spacing, and that's Domas leading the way and sort of creating this, you know, again, planet circling the sun. And if you have a guy like Domas, you almost have to do it that way. You have to build a team that's like very like 3-and-D centric or even like just 3-point specialist centric. The problem that you have is that a lot of these guys that they've brought in, they just take away a little bit each time. And it's kind of why it's like, again, I don't have anything against DeMar DeRozan. I think DeMar DeRozan is the first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think he's a spectacular scorer still at age 35. Absolutely crazy. But not only does he kill the spacing with Domas, but his increase in shots over what Harrison Barnes was before took away even more spacing because you limited who Keegan Murray could be. And so, again, it's this little tiny, it's like it's death by a thousand paper cuts. But you can see how it's not one thing that went wrong. It's a series of these little tiny things that impact everyone around them. You know, again, DeMar DeRozan taking 17 shots versus 9 for Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes being a 39% three-point shooter versus DeMar DeRozan being a 32% three-point shooter. And all of these things, they impact each other. And I, like, honestly, I didn't think that they could, as fast as they were able to get good and build this team, I thought there was no way that it would fall apart this quick, but it's when you step back and you start analyzing all of these tiny moves that impact the next move and the next move and the next move, that's where you start seeing the drop off, and it's unfortunate that it happened this way.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Domas' situation, and we've talked about this before, is, and we've seen this in real time, and that's why they went and got DeMar DeRozan. Not saying he might have been the right fit, but the idea was right. Is you take one piece away from what you're building around Domas, Malik Monk going down, and Domas can't make up for that. If you take one piece away from Jokic, if you take a scoring piece away from Jokic, you'd be like, okay, I'll make up for that. I'll just start shooting and have 30-plus points per game while this guy's out or something like that. You take one piece away, we saw it that second year. When Malik Monk was gone, they had nobody that could get to the foul line. They had nobody that could create. They were shooting 55 threes a game because that's all they could get outside of De'Aaron Fox. And that's the problem. If everything's good, if everybody's there, cool. Like, you can run things through Domas. But if something goes wrong, if one of your creators specifically goes wrong, gets hurt or something like that, you're in a bad, bad spot because he can't make up for that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, neither did Kevin Herter. And for that matter, neither did De'Aaron Fox. He didn't make up for the fact that, you know, that Malik Monk was out. Like, they didn't have anyone that could take that step. And again, I think it's part of the faultiness of the build itself, where, you know, like, go back to the Kings of the Glory years, you know, you had complimentary pieces off the bench, you know, in like Bobby Jackson, but also it's guys like Lawrence Funderburk, it's guys like Hedo Turkoglu, it's guys like Scott Pollard that played specific roles. And the way that their roles were built was that if someone did go down, they could take on more because they weren't asked to do that much. But when it's like, hey, you know, Weber's out for 6 months, we're going to need you to average more than 4 or 5 points a game. It's like, okay, I've got seven in me, maybe eight. Like, and if you go around the room and like, hey, you can keep finding people that have that little bit more to give, then it works. But, you know, losing a guy 70 games into a season, there aren't a lot of teams that can recover like quickly, especially when the rest of your team wasn't built to withstand that loss.
Do you think Scott Perry, because you brought up DeMar DeRozan a lot in that conversation, do you think that Scott Perry like likes DeMar and believes he adds a lot to this team?
I'm sure he does. Like, they made the decision pretty quickly that they weren't going to move him.
Yeah, like, and that's kind of where I was going. Like, if he brings, and you're certainly not alone in this thinking, if he brings so many, I don't know that complications is the right word, to the style of play to this team, should Scott have been a little bit more aggressive in his attempt to move him, or even had a desire to move him if he didn't?
Well, I mean, this gets into like, you know, opinions on basketball. And my opinion is, yes, he should have been more aggressive. But that's just because I just watched a year of basketball with him on the court. And while Scott Perry watched plenty of Kings basketball, he also watched basketball around the league and maybe didn't sit there and watch all 82 Sacramento Kings games and sort of see the highs and the lows, the goods and the bads. But like, look, I think at the end of the day, they kind of have an idea of when they want to bail on a lot of this roster. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're going to trade a player like this, like, number one, you have to have value because it is talent. Number two, you're going to have to convince the owner because the owner had a big part in DeMar DeRozan being on this team and, you know, trying to convince an owner why a Hall of Famer isn't fit for your roster build isn't all that simple, right? Especially when he played a part in going out and getting this player. So I think it's complicated because, you know, DeMar is a guy that everyone likes and, you know, that is a great, an NBA great. And, you know, like, I saw ESPN put him like on the bubble or something for the Hall of Fame. And it's just like, that's not even remotely close to factual. I mean, I don't know if he's a first ballot, but he gets in the first 5 years without any question. He's a Hall of Famer, 6-time All-Star. He's number, I think, 27 all-time in scoring, and will probably move up closer to number 20 by the time it's all said and done. Like, this is an elite player, but that doesn't matter in the game of basketball. It's five players on the court. Like, it's not like any other sport where you rely on fit as much as anything else. Like, the way players fit together matters so much. And that's where I think, you know, again, the Oklahoma City Thunder went out last season and spent $30 million on a mid center. Like, a dude who's just flat out just not even top 20 in the league. Maybe he's number 18 in the league, right? And then they went out and won a championship because he fit perfectly. And that's just kind of the way basketball works. You have to value fit over almost everything. And that's the one thing I would say, that as the noise gotten louder and louder over the last year with Monty, he stopped worrying about that as much as anything else. Like, and that's where I think you start to make mistakes, because he understood fit. That's how he got that team to like beam team one to just take off, because those guys all fit together. But that doesn't mean that people are going to maintain the same level of success that they did before. And you got to constantly try to rebuild and get better at every single position on the court, but with keeping in mind this idea of fit. And he got away from that. And that's where I, to me, things got to where they are today, where I don't think anyone has a humongous amount of faith in where this team is heading this season or next.
Wow. Well, you're trying to convince the owner to go for a player, not go for a player. Maybe the messenger matters just as much as the message, because he may have gotten to the point where, I'm not listening to anything that you say. Mm. You've been wrong for years. Mm-hmm. So this is what I want, and this is what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Now you got a guy in here who maybe he does listen to his message a little bit more, and he's a different messenger. And if he says, no, I think this is the way we should build something, and this is the way we should go about it, maybe he falls back a little bit, because it's somebody that his resume speaks a little different to Vivek. That may be the case.
Yeah, it's also possible that, you know, Vivek has like a certain amount of time that he'll listen to somebody, and then he starts to see the writing on the wall and he bails on the prospect of what's happening. I mean, like, to be honest, this is year 13-14 was the first year, right? So this is year 12 or year 13 of Vivek's ownership, and the guy that he stopped listening to is the only one that led his group to a playoff berth and to two straight plus 500 seasons. And, you know, so like, while Monty's lasting legacy here in Sacramento probably isn't great because of the things that happened on the way out the door, if we would have backed up, you know, 2 years, he was a NBA's executive of the year. Mm-hmm. And he did do good things. And, you know, so this isn't all about beating up on Monty. You got to be fair and balanced when it comes to this stuff.
No, we can keep beating up on Vivek, because it's not just who he doesn't listen to. He did listen to Pete D'Alessandro.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, yeah. We could fault him for a million things. I mean, but when you're this bad for this long, there's blame to be placed everywhere, mm-hmm. except with Jerry Reynolds. You don't blame Jerry Reynolds for anything.
For nothing.
You blame everybody else.
That's right.
That's just a fact.
It is. It's actually, it should be, instead of farm to fork, it should be don't blame Jerry. That's what they're called. Instead of the stupid rabbit, it should be a poster of Jerry Reynolds that says don't blame him.
Yeah, hey, that. I know we're running out of time, but I want to pull this up. It says Vivek listens until he doesn't, and I don't think that that's the case. I think Vivek is always, always in their ear. It's just a matter of when do they break and allow his voice to be bigger in the room.
Vivek is always listening. It's just a matter of to who.
Yeah. That's
the thing. It's just a matter of to who. Great stuff from James. I feel like we haven't talked to you in a really long time on our show, so it was great to spend some time together. Of course, we'll be with you. Hopefully, all of you will tomorrow morning when James and Kyle take the air with the Insiders at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Padres!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to a 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.